Blog Talk Radio.
And this is Strategies of Success. And today we're going to focus on one of the key components to a successful strategy. And you would be terribly surprised if I told you that it actually begins with you. But you know what? It does begin with you. But also may begin with your spouse, your partner, the person that you shop with. Not even talking about clothes shopping. You're talking about food shopping. Where is this the beginning of absolutely everything? I got a couple of personal stories to tell with that one, but we're going to save that. But it all has to do with you, how you feel, how you present yourself, how you feel about yourself, how you have that smile on when you start your day. And where does it come from? It comes from feeling good about yourself. That means making sure that you are progressing in a manner that is good for you. And what you put into your body is so important. Your food intake is incredibly important because that will give you the energy to move forward. That will also allow you to maintain, lose weight. Some folks out there need to put on a couple of pounds for a variety of different reasons. But you have to shop and shop properly. Sometimes you have a spouse, partner, somebody else that you're shopping with or shopping for you. So the communication is terribly important. In this case, what do you communicate with them? How do you communicate with them? Where do you tell them to shop? And I'm not talking the food store. I'm talking within the food store. And there is nobody I know that is better qualified, better motivated, and more sincere than anybody when it comes to figuring out how you can maintain that lifestyle, where and how you should be shopping, and that attitude, the total attitude when it comes to consuming food. None other than wonderful Margaret Marshall, author, speaker, friend, postmaster. She's out there, writer. Don't want to forget that one either. And today she's going to share with us some of her top tips when it comes to grocery shopping, something as basic but as important as grocery shopping. Margaret, thank you for taking time out of your unbelievably busy, productive, and fantastic schedule to join us
today. Oh, my goodness. Are you talking about me, Brian?
Yeah. Every once in a while, I just feel a need to talk about you. I've sat in on some of the seminars. It's true to life. It's something that I totally believe in and live through and do live through today. And you got such a great approach. You got such a great realistic lifestyle approach when it comes to how we and how we lose weight and how we maintain ourselves. I think it's fantastic.
Right. And realistic is the key word there, and that's how I try and stay, because we can read anything and it can sound really good what we should be doing, but if we can't implement it into our lifestyle, what good is it? So I always say you have to be real, and you have to be realistic with the stage of life that you're in and what will work for you in that stage, because that could change at any time as well.
Right. And there's realistic levels also. You know, truly have to do with, you know, the spouse, your family, the folks that you're living with, because when something gets into that refrigerator, for some of us, hey, that's a license to eat, and that's not necessarily.
Right. And, you know, and so who's bringing the food into the house? And, you know, I've been through many stages of my life, and I've been in this business for 30 years, and you know, of course, I'm almost 60, really. My big year is coming. But, you know, in those years, I went through so many different stages, having babies, having toddlers, having small children, having teenagers, and now having an empty nest. And with each stage, different food comes into the house. But who's shopping for it, and who's bringing it in, and who's asking for it, and how much of it is really for you, and how much of it is healthy, and how much of it is not?
Right. And it's a challenge. I mean, we, you know, kind of start right there. You know, let's look at it from that family approach. All right, you're the one who's in control of shopping. You're going out to the grocery store. You're shopping for different people with that have different needs. You know, the growing kids, you know, they are putting on weight, healthily, of course, but they are putting on weight.
Right.
They have different food requirements. And perhaps someone who's a little bit more mature.
Right. And, you know, Brian, it's really funny because in my book, Body, Mind, and Mouth, I put a section in there on grocery shopping just because I thought it was important and, you know, I thought, you know, it's something that we really have to pay attention to them. Many people don't. And I put just a small section in there, just a couple of pages, and I got so much feedback on how important that was. That since then, I've done so many interviews on grocery shopping, and I just wrote this article for the Huffington Post that made it onto the front page. So I guess it really, really is a big topic for people, what kind of food you bring in. And in this article, I have 10 easy-to-follow tips for grocery shopping. So hopefully, regardless of what stage of life you're in, some of these tips will help you. You don't have to follow all 10 of them, of course, but, you know, if you pick four, that's a plus.
Yes, if you do four, it's certainly better than three. And you know what? I think one of the reasons why it's so important, and you got so much attention with it, and Huffington Post decided to highlight it, you know, in such a way, is because it is what we do. We go out and we grocery shop, whether we're doing it by ourselves with somebody or asking somebody else to do it for us. But, you know, it is a common denominator across the board, regardless of where you're shopping. You know, grocery shopping is so important. See, you came up with these 10 tips. These are tips that really people should be able to follow, you know, shopping the perimeter of the store. You know, that's something that, you know, it's been brought up, you know, a little frequently. But why did you find that to be so important to include that in your
Well,
top tips?
You know, Brian, they are easy to follow, and that goes back to your word realistic. I try and stay realistic with everything I do in my work life and hopefully in my life as well. And these are things that I think I just sat back and I said, what do I do and what do I encourage my clients to do that's easy to do? And that's how I came up with the 10 steps. As far as shopping the perimeter of the store, it was once said that and this is going back years, maybe when I first started in this business, we were always told, tell everybody, shop the perimeter of the store. That's where you'll get your meat and your milk and, you know, all your healthy, fresh food. But that's no longer true. You know, the grocery stores have gotten larger. They've made their carts larger so that if your cart is not full, you don't feel like you're buying enough. And the stores are larger so that the more steps you take in the store, the more you buy. And so what the stores did was put their bakeries around the perimeter. They had their beer around the perimeter. They had their diet foods, which sometimes are candy bars and cake, you know, and just with the word diet on it, around the perimeter. So there's a lot of food around the perimeter, too, that you now, not only is it your milk and your eggs and your meat, you now have to be a little more cautious with shopping the perimeter. But truthfully, all the packaged processed foods are basically in the aisles. And so that's why I still go with shopping the perimeter, but to be very mindful about it and aware of, you know, the bakery's there to give you that aroma so that as soon as you walk in, you see the bakery, and you smell the bread or you smell the cakes and you walk right to the bakery. So just be very aware of all their marketing ploys that are being aimed toward the shopper.
You know, and I find it interesting about that. And, you know, it's been mentioned time and time again, but why does it need to be mentioned time and time again? And I understand exactly what you're saying over here, but you would think that we would get the message by now that, you know, the non-processed foods, the eating the perimeter side is everything. So some of this, doesn't it come down to how you approach eating, you know, the why portion of it, and then that will carry you through the store in a much more healthful way when it comes to purchasing whatever items?
Oh, absolutely, how you approach eating. I think that has to be your first step. Very often when I start with a new client, you know, what we talk about is the food that's going to be brought into the house. Well, really, even before that, I ask them what kind of food is in their house so that I know how we have to change the shopping. And very often, especially if I'm working with a woman who's a mother and the grocery shopper and the cook of the family, she'll say, oh, no, my kids love this cookie and love this. And you know, I don't think you should deprive your kids of that or even of yourself of that, but just be aware that who you're really buying that food for. You know, if you're accustomed to eating it too and it's challenging to you and you may feel really strong while you're grocery shopping and say, you know, I'm going to buy this for little Bobby, but then you get home and you're tired and you're hungry and the phone's ringing and the kid has to go to basketball practice or something and you just start shoving those cookies in your mouth. So be aware of what they're really doing to you and who you're really buying them for. One of the things I've learned, I've kind of gotten off cookies. Cookies don't thrill me anymore, but I can't say I wasn't always like that, but I've kind of gotten off of them. But one of the things I've learned that if my husband wants to have a cookie, I no longer buy a box of cookies. I'll go to the bakery and I'll buy him one of the cookies and I bring it into the house and he has the cookie. You know, one of the larger ones, not the little ones. I'm a little kinder than that. And then he has a cookie when he wants it. You know, but I'm not going to buy a box of cookies.
I just visualized those large oatmeal cookies. Man, do I love that.
Say that again? I didn't hear you.
So the large size oatmeal cookies that you can find in a bakery?
Yeah, you just buy one of them, bring it home. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, when you have a box and you just start shoving them in your mouth, you're not even enjoying them because there's so many of them, you just keep eating them. But when you have one, you're going to savor it, and it's a good one, and you know, just enjoy it.
Yeah, and it's probably the same amount of calories, size of the cookies that you're going to eat if you had that whole box, and maybe even less than. You know,
I think it's less. Oh, no, going to give you less. Yeah.
Probably is. Yeah, sometimes I am capable of sitting down with a box of cookies and never getting up with you.
Yeah, that's the problem. Right. And yet, while you're grocery shopping, you may say, I'm not going to eat this. Not for me. It's for someone else. But, you know, we've all fallen into that trap. So just be aware of who you're really buying those cookies for. Or whatever it is. Doesn't necessarily have to be cookies. Could be chips.
Yeah, literally, item number eight, you mentioned about, you know, the impulse buying. And it would that goes back, I would think, also, you know, to their mindset. Oh, I know Bobby would love this. Or, oh, I know my husband, you know, would love that kind of a thing. The packaging is beautiful. You know, it looks good, smells good, if it's a bakery item and that kind of thing.
Well, that's my number eight, and if I could read it just as I wrote it here, it says, impulse buying items are placed at eye level or visible at the register. Avoid the product placement trap. You are stronger than that. And many, many years ago, when I was losing my weight and first starting on this process and I was grocery shopping for my family, I found that I was just the ideal shopper for the marketing ploys. And so if something was at eye level, and this is what they do, they put it at eye level so that it's just an impulse buy, I started telling myself, I'm stronger than their marketing ploys. And I told myself that for years until I believed it, maybe 2 or 3 years before I believed it. But it worked for me for those 2 or 3 years. I would just say, I'm stronger than your marketing ploy. And, you know, now I don't even look at it like that anymore because I've come so far since then. But I'm just saying anybody can do that. Anybody can stand up to the market, you know, the product placement and say, I'm stronger than you. I know you're there for me to spend my money. You don't care about my health. You just want me to spend my money. So I hope that makes sense. But that's truly how I feel about that. So just talk to me.
Yeah.
I'm stronger than you.
And I think that's where the difference goes between I'm on a diet to I have a new way of eating and getting away with those, getting away from those negative terms, because a diet, right, you're depriving yourself of something, where a new lifestyle or new way of approaching eating just becomes a whole, the way I see it, you know, it's a way of exploring different things. It's much more positive and much more healthy. So how do you make that transition? It'll take a couple of years to do it.
You know, it takes time, and there's no timeline on it. There's just no timeline. Just keep practicing. It takes practice, patience, and knowledge, and just keep practicing. And you can change the word from diet to I care. You know, I care about me. I care about my health. I care about whatever it is that I care about my looks. Whatever it is, I care about my weight. Whatever it is, change the word diet to I care. And it does take time. It doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah, everything does. Everything that's good does take some time, and it takes a total change in attitude, which is very important in everything, you know, that we do. But once you start taking a look at it and perhaps making it a little bit more fun to do, and maybe we're not going to look at grocery shopping as fun, but perhaps, you know, sitting in a kitchen and it comes down to, you know, making food, as you certainly mentioned here about avoiding the processed food. When it comes to cooking different items, just because you're eating healthy, and what I found is, like, eating healthy, I mean, I enjoy the taste of food that much more. It's not covered in salt. It's not covered in cheese.
Right. And when you get accustomed to eating fresher food, and then you taste one of those processed items, they just no longer taste good to you. And I think if you stay away from them for a while and not have them, when you taste them again, you're going to realize what they really taste like, which is, they taste like chemicals.
So have you found that your cooking has, well, it has to have increased because you're not eating processed food, but how did you find, or how did, what was your way of making cooking more fun? As you progressed and gone through the different stages, you know, with kids in the house, out of the house, you know, et cetera.
Wow, that's a really good question. Really good question. I have another blog, and you can get it on my website, but I have another blog from the Huffington Post that I did. I'm trying to think of the title, How to Have a Home-Cooked Meal When You're Never Home. Because people tell me, my clients tell me all the time that they're too busy to cook. And really, I understand that because I feel the same thing. But you can, there are ways to have a home-cooked meal. And I would say, you know, like I said, I've been doing this for 30 years. So I had the babies, the toddlers, the teens, whatever, and everything that goes along with raising a family, the busyness of it. And now we're empty nesters, and it's just the two of us. So, of course, I cook much differently now than I did when I had a family. But just keep it simple. I mean, how easy is it to get fresh vegetables? This is something I do. I have to say, I've always done this. Before my day starts, I'll clean fresh vegetables, put them in a pot on the stove with the stove off, but put ice cubes in the pot. So whatever I'm doing all day, the vegetables are cold in the pot with the ice cubes. As the day goes on, the ice cubes melt. When I come home, I just turn on the stove, and the ice cubes are now water on the bottom, and they just steam the vegetables. And it's done. So easy.
That's excellent.
Just so easy.
That is truly
you know,
excellent
and it takes
idea.
It takes me a few minutes in the morning, and I just, you know, I don't – there were years I ate frozen vegetables. I no longer do that. I'd rather have a fresh vegetable. It just tastes so much better to me. But
yes.
I've been doing that for years with vegetables. So easy, so easy.
Yeah, fresh definitely tastes better.
Right. And then you have all the nutrients in the vegetable, too, because you're not boiling it in a lot of water. It's just, you know, maybe I put 8 ice cubes in there or 10 ice cubes, and it's just a little bit of water on the bottom, and it just steams them.
Yeah. And it's a great idea because it does keep it nice and simple. You have fresh vegetables, and all you're doing when you're getting home is just turning on the heat, you know,
turn
and making that happen. There are a lot, there are a lot of items. And then I'll throw one of the things that I do is I cook a couple pounds of chicken earlier in the week, so this way I always have it in the refrigerator. I just want to open the refrigerator door, have something healthy I could just snack on, you know, even a little off hours. It's also that. Like the vegetables, you know, gives you a base for a meal that could be easily prepared.
Right, right. Yeah, that's another great idea. You know, cook a lot of chicken, or I make a big roast, and then you just cut it up as the week goes on. You know, make different things with it. Maybe, you know, if you make a roast beef or something like that, or roast pork, you know, maybe another night you'll have it in a different way. But, you know, make enough. I always say, cook once, eat twice.
Right. You know, one of the things that you put in here that in your article, you know, is interesting. Take as few steps as possible inside the grocery store. You know, we know where you're going and make that work. You must believe in creating lists and sticking to those lists as you're walking in the door also.
Right, right. You know, and I'm not a great list maker, but the times that I do make a list, and I'll try and make it during the week, and I'll just jot down things that I need. And even if I forget to bring the list, and often I do, I at least remember what I wrote on the list. So if I didn't write something on the list, you know, I go into a grocery store and I'm like, okay, now, what did I need? But if I even just forget it and I come home and it's still sitting where I left it, I usually have gotten everything on the list. And take as few steps in the grocery store as you can, yes. Yes. I try and shop in the smaller stores, too. I don't go to the big, large stores for that reason.
There's less. Well, yeah, if you're getting the fresh produce, whether it be the eggs, chicken, milk.
Yeah, I don't need all that processed food, you know. And then, you know, I also look, and And the price of food is just so high now. And I look at people, and I'm sure they have kids at home, but they have these carts loaded with all this processed food. And I think to myself, how do they even afford to buy this? You know, it's like crazy. It's just so much more money to buy all the processed foods.
Well, another question that comes up with that, you know, on the money side, you know, also is the eating out. You know, when you eat out, you're spending a lot of money on food because it's prepared. But, you know, restaurants, it's that whole environment that you're in. But it also comes down to, now this is fresh, it's not processed, but you still don't know really what they're making, you know, in that dish. So it also becomes a little bit more of a challenge. Right.
So, Brian, I have another blog that I did for the Huffington Post, and you can find it on my website, too, and it's strategies, I don't know if I use the word strategies, but 10 eating out tips or strategies or something like that. So I have a whole thing on there about eating out, and that is also in my book as well.
You are a tremendous wealth of information.
You know, how many times a day do we put something in our mouth? And how many times a day, I mean, where is all that food coming from? It's coming from eating out, grocery shopping, just mindless eating, sitting with your family. I mean, you have to think about how many times a day you're putting something in your mouth. So you're right, when you're dining out, there are ways to look at a menu to decide what you're going to have, and you can always ask your server. If they don't know exactly what's in the food, they will ask the kitchen, because remember, it's their inventory. They know exactly what's in their food. And just be smart about it. And if you eat out often or all of the time, you have to be a little more careful with it if you care about your health. And if you eat out rarely, you know, and then it's a special occasion. Just sit back and enjoy it.
Yeah, it's great point. You know, and it all comes down to that mindset, doesn't it? You know, if you don't have the list with you, you've written it down, so now you kind of recall it, but it's almost like a positive affirmation because you've written down what you should be buying, not what you shouldn't be buying, and that's certainly that, you know, that way of looking at it. And then also the
way
you approach the whole idea, right? I mean, the whole idea of everything where it is it's not a diet. It's a new lifestyle. It's a new way of looking at things. So I think it's, you know, absolutely great. So you've got two books now, and, you know, it's one of them with How You Got Started. The second book that you now have, can you explain a little bit about it, what the purpose of it was, what message you're delivering in there?
Yes, you know, my next book, honestly, it's not out yet, so you can't get it yet, but it will be coming out in the beginning of 2016. My book, Body, Mind, and Mouth, you can get now, and that's all about the connection between your mind and your mouth and how it shows in your body and your health. But my new book, a publisher contacted me. I spoke with a publisher, and I have over 50 Huffington Post blogs. And he really liked them. And so what I did was categorize them in different categories, for lack of a better word. You know, I'm just getting started. It's holidays. That might be one category. And there might be 5 or 6 different blogs in that category. It's holiday season. You know, it's that time of year again. Or I have six different categories with maybe 8 or 10 in blogs in each category. At the end of each blog or chapter, there's going to be a work page, a worksheet with questions on it for the reader to answer these questions and go back to this chapter anytime they're faced with the same challenge and answer the same questions so that they can see how much they've changed and progressed since the last time they had this particular challenge. So it's not a book where you pick up and you read from front page to the back page. It's a book that you can pick up anytime you find a challenge, find a strategy for that challenge, and then, you know, basically talk to yourself how you got through that challenge so that you can always go back and recheck yourself.
That's excellent, because it's a great way, you know, besides that scale, but it's a great way for you to see how much you've progressed, how many things you've changed, and how that lifestyle truly has changed over the months, years, whatever it is. As you mentioned, the time frame really doesn't make a difference. It's as long as you are progressing
right,
you know, in that right.
And I love that you fact. It's not about the scale at all. It's about how to live and make the scale the byproduct of how you live, not the focus.
Yeah,
we don't want the scale to be the focus.
I agree. And, you know, when I sat down at that seminar that you gave, and this was many, many years ago, you know, it really pounded down the point was it's how we look at it, you know, and it can be, you know, if you go on a diet, it's negative. If you go on a new way of eating, you know, it's now a positive thing. But I also tried to add fun into it. You know, I tried making my own soups. Not necessarily, they didn't come out good all the time, but I found another way of doing it. So let me ask you, this is a final question here. How important is it to start to have fun when you're doing this, when you're starting to really take a look at the way that you're living, at the way that you're eating, at the way that you're presenting food to your entire family? And, of course, that big question, as you approach your way into that grocery store, you know, adding fun into it, that exploration side of it.
You know what? I feel like I'm going to explode. Fun is all about it. It's all about fun. I mean, if you're not enjoying your life, you know, what's the sense? And here's the thing, Brian. People think they're going to deprive themselves of food, but it's truly the food that they're eating that is depriving them of their fun. Because if they continue eating food that keeps them unhealthy, they're going to lose relationships, they're going to lose jobs, they're going to lose opportunities. But when you eat to make your body as healthy as you can, that's where you find the fun.
That's right.
Does
and that
make
that's when
sense?
You find the confidence in yourself. Oh, without a doubt, because that's when you find the confidence in yourself to go out and do anything.
Anything.
And that's why,
anything, and
so,
it all starts with your eating.
It does. And that's why, you know, when we spoke about you coming on as a guest, I was like, man, this is absolutely perfect, because it does start with your eating. That's the first thing you put in your mouth in the morning. You have a Danish in the morning, you know, that's one way. You have a poached egg that you truly enjoy with a little avocado on the side, and that's another thing. So it's,
that's right.
It is,
you're going to have a better day.
Yeah.
You're going to have a better day.
Mm-hmm. All great stuff. Listen, we only have a couple minutes left. You do a lot. You've been writing for the Huffington Post. People could gain access to those articles. You're a public speaker. You're an author. You know, obviously, you know, the different writing. Public speaking, the public speaking engagement. You've been speaking to what kind of an audience?
I speak to corporate functions. I speak at corporate functions. I speak at a lot of women's organizations. I speak at medical facilities. And what am I missing? I'm missing something. But I also just booked a cruise that I'm going to be doing a wellness series on, a Royal Caribbean cruise in February. So I have to do 6 programs on a 10-day cruise. So I'm looking very much forward to that. And, yeah, I
Did
do
you
everything
say you
about
have
wellness.
To do?
I have to
You're
do
going
six
on
programs.
A cruise.
I'm so excited about
do?
That.
I think we should rephrase that one. That is how you have fun. That's how you grow a business.
That's how you have fun.
It's
absolutely.
So important. Now, the cruise, I mean, of all places to speak about eating properly, on a cruise ship where there's tons and tons and tons of food. So,
I know, but it's so very easy. It's so very easy. You know, my number one thing on the grocery shop thing is there are thousands of items in the grocery store. 80 of them are no good for you. 20% of them are. Look for the 20%. It's plenty. And the same thing is true on a cruise ship.
How can you say that? Because you have bullets. The sticky buns in the morning and everything. The temptation is right there.
But what did we just say? If you eat like that, you know, your body's going to revolt. You're going to end up throwing up, and you're not going to enjoy your trip.
But it is also on the much more positive side. You know, you now have an ability to go and try all kinds of different things that are super healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of fruit, tons of food,
right.
Fish, fresh, right?
Right, very a lot of fresh stuff. And, again, I have another blog on my Huffington Post about how to travel. Pack these 8 tips for traveling or something like that, I called it. So anybody, if they're traveling, they can look on that and read that one.
Boy, if anybody ever doubted the importance of having a blog, you got to speak to Margaret. That blog is it. It's great. It's a great way to deliver your message. And you know, I know you deliver it so many different ways, the public speaking, the writing. It's just phenomenal. Video TV also, the CBS shows up in Connecticut. Fios, you're on all the time, too. You have your own segment. Margaret, you are living the lifestyle and delivering the right message for everybody to adhere to. And I thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure to be here. Thank you, Brian, for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. My gain. It's everybody's gain with that. When you just have yourself a fantastic time on that cruise that you have to give a couple of presentations on. have to, man alive. Hey, you know, the key to everything is having a fun time doing it. Grocery shopping can be fun. You go into that store with the right attitude, looking for the right foods for you, for your family, for your spouse, for everybody, then, you know, it can be enjoyable. Create a new recipe. Explore a little bit. Hey, look, when I made that soup, it didn't come out good, but I did find some other substitute with it, a low-sodium soup, and then built from there. You know, it's great. The writing, your business, everything. And look, if you have a company where you want to start having your employees eat a little bit better, think about having Margaret come in, because you have healthy employees and you bring value to them. They're going to be happy about it. They're going to be happier with the way that they are, and that is just going to reflect and grow throughout absolutely everything. But it does start with you. Think about everything. Think about the way that you're approaching everything, especially when it comes to walking into that grocery store. Make sure that you're making the right choices in life. It will have an impact on you forever. You've been listening to Margaret Marshall. It's Margaret Marshall Associates. You can find her on her website and then find out all the other things that she's doing, the books, the blogs, and also the TV shows. My name is Brian Cohen. This is Strategies of Success. Start with the basic stuff. Make sure you have the right stuff in your mind and at the grocery store that you bring home. Have yourself a great day.